Thank you. And thank you so much for coming today. I know this is a really busy time for everyone, so I'm really grateful that you're here. And before I begin, I would like to actually thank Swarthmore College for awarding me the Brand Blanchard Fellowship for my fieldwork research in India in the year 2011 and 12. This grant especially enabled me to do fieldwork in the National Archives in Pune, and some of that you will see today. Also, this particular paper is based on my research that I have been conducting in Calcutta and Bombay for the past 6 years for a book-length project on new media and visual culture, especially focusing on Bollywood dance and dance reality show and the rise of a new generation of dancers, practitioners, and choreographers in India from the underprivileged and the middle classes. Now, before I embark on my paper, I want to thank Barbara for a wonderful and personal and generous introduction. Thank you. And also, I want to take this opportunity to make you aware of April 13th, the Arts Weekend. We have one of the most important Kathak choreographers in the world among us today, Kumudini Lakhia, who's sitting here. And I want to thank Swarthmore College for inviting her to be the visiting Cornell professor. So you will be actually seeing her performance, her choreographies, and participating in a panel on Kathak, which celebrates her legacy and her contribution. And I can promise you it's going to be a remarkable event. The event starts at 3, so I just could not give up this plug, you know, since you are all here. So, also want to mention that this is... part of the way I look at this work is part of my ongoing research on dance in India. My first research was on the classical dance style Kathak and democratization and modernization of this classical oral form into modern form. And also looking at women's lives and their contribution in this particular dance as it modernized. And this particular work is a continuation of the same work in terms of dance and ethnography and lives of dancers, but the focus is popular dance form. And it's a very interesting time in India in terms of what's happening with the culture, the economy, and all kinds of values and issues colliding against each other. So that's the kind of world I'm trying to capture with this research. And of course, you will be just hearing an excerpt of some of my other book chapters. That are in the process of being written. The rapid and tumultuous changes that signify India today can be construed as a bewildering ensemble of opposites. The condition is articulated in the contradictory mission of a globalizing economy and culture advocated through narratives of modernization, urbanization, and democratization on the one hand, and preservation of ancestral homelands, sacred places, and the environment from capitalist development on the other. However, both remain entrenched in the micropolitics of the local and the vernacular. In this present moment, the once dominant Orientalist view of India living in the past has been replaced by a turbulent newness. The moment of change has facilitated various kinds of boundary crossing among cultural forms between high and low, classical and folk, Indian and Western, which in turn has prompted different cultural forms and bodily practices to emerge. The most important aspect of this newness has been driven by the spread of media and electronic communication. The articulation and cultural practice of Indian dance have taken center stage in the mushrooming of visual culture circulated by new media and technology. One such new form that has saturated the media networks is television dance reality shows. You cannot escape this if you turn on a television in India. The Bollywood-inspired remixed global dances of the reality shows are the most visible cultural product of India's new economy. In order to explore the new forms of subjectivities that are forged through the interactions of various media technologies, such as cinema, video, internet, and television, and their relationship to traditional visual culture, such as dance and ritual, I focus on the emergence of a new visual genre of dance television reality show. However, rather than looking at it as a global phenomenon, which it is, I analyze it within localized contexts. In order to explore subjectivities shaped by sensory experiences of the body and their relationship to technology and visual culture, I situate them in specific histories and ethnographic contexts. Thus, while dance television reality shows in India are conceptually borrowed from television reality shows in the West, they are deeply grounded in the visual and sensory culture of India and its all-pervasive media apparatus, Bombay Films, renamed Bollywood in the 1980s. My investigation is concerned with uncovering this indigenous logic of visual genre by tracing it within the song and dances of Bombay or Bollywood films. I argue that the song and dance sequences in Bombay films were forerunners of the music video industry and the music reality TV, both in the West and in India, and the intimate connections between the West and the East, or Hollywood and Bollywood, are both narratives of homogenization and specificities of culture and aesthetics. The intersection of modern media, such as cinema, television, music, video, and the older traditions of music, dance, and theater, are a complex area of investigation where various spheres of meanings are simultaneously at play. In the modern age of mechanical reproduction, the visual aesthetics of the past, which are derived from Indian philosophical, religious, and secular traditions, entangle with modern technologies of imaging, with photography, cinema, television, and various electronic media. In all this, the construction of desire and the desiring subject, I argue, takes center stage in negotiating embodied aesthetics and technology, not just as image or representation, but also as emotion and corporeal experiences. The media explosion of television dance reality shows in India forms a rich tapestry of lives, desires, aspirational experiences of dancers, choreographers, and spectators. In order to uncover these subjectivities within a mediatized global Indian modernity, I explore the conceptual framework of desire and its relation to nation and citizen as they are articulated in the song and dance sequences of Bombay films. The paper is divided into three sections. The first section, desire, forms the theoretical lens to explore the song and dance sequences as aspects of aesthetic and material desire in shaping Indian subjectivities. The second section maps the transition from Bombay to Bollywood films by analyzing some of the key song and dance sequences to establish a genealogical link between the television reality shows and the dancing in Bollywood films. So I'm arguing that they are interconnected. The third section situates the song and dance sequences in the context of reality TV and dance practice on the ground. However, I suggest in the paper that the transition from Bombay to Bollywood is not just an aesthetic cinematic transformation, but is located in the ideological and material transformation of desire and the desiring subject within the changing narrative of Indian modernity. In Indian philosophy, religion, and art, desire forms the common ground for exploring human emotions and feelings. The idea of desire is transformed into aesthetic emotions, such as bhava and rasa, in the performing and visual arts. Desire, as articulated and embodied through the song and dances in Bombay films of the past, belong to a mytho-poetic world of bhakti and Sufi love mysticism. This music and dances were imbued with rasa, such as bhakti rasa, or devotional desire, and sringara rasa, or erotic desire. The glossary of terms will give you some idea about what these concepts are. Although many of the song and dance sequences were influenced by Uday Shankar, he's the modern dance pioneer in India, who gave a new dimension to the classical rasa aesthetics, and some were derived purely from Western forms, the general repertoire of the song and dances were associated with traditional Indian aesthetics. It is no surprise then that the Indian dances have been an important feature of Bombay cinema from its inception. Both have been integral to the project of nation building and fostering a sense of collective national identity. Both cinema and dance have used similar cultural aesthetic codes of the rasas for making meaning, affect, and identity construction, for establishing a deep sense of cultural identity. Classical and folk dances, ranging from Kathak and Bharatnatyam to Nautanki and Rasleela, have been the staple of Bombay films. In Hindi films, such as Devdas, Guide, Pyasa, Kinara, these are very famous films, and others, the soul's longing for the union with the divine was imagined in the song and dance sequences as expressed a lover's desire for his beloved. This is how they're expressed. These sequences often evoked images of Radha and Krishna, or Laila and Majnu, transforming the screen to a mythic land of love mysticism. The song and dances connected the audience to the cultural habitus of deeply felt emotions encoded in bhava and rasa. They helped to create a sense of tradition and continuity in the narrative of nation and identity within a post-colonial context of nation building and citizenship. These dances and songs resonated with the ethos of parampara, continuous tradition, that referred to a specific method of dance practice, social organization, and transmission of knowledge. Many films directly incorporated this special training relationship between student and teacher, which is known as Guru Shishya Parampara, in their plot. Films such as Jhanak Jhanak Pal Baje, Ganga Jamuna, Sura Sangam, Shankar Varnam, and Umrao Jaan show this specific practice-oriented disciplining of the body in narrating the story of dancers and musicians. And I would just want to show you a few clips that kind of embody some of these traditional aesthetics. This was a really extremely popular hit film. And Jhanak Jhanak Pal Baje, it's basically an onomatopoeic word which describes the sounding of the bells. And you can see the face and the animation of the face and the expression. This is a famous film on actually the story of a courtesan. And it incorporated a lot of Kathak, and Kumi Ven can tell you more about it. She actually has been part of this history. So, in the last two decades, due to globalization, new technology, and democratization of consumption, a decentralized and fragmented visual field of images has replaced an earlier rooted aesthetic cultural identity. The embodiment of erotic desire through music and dance, such as Sringara Rasa, encapsulated in cherchar, or what is called romantic teasing in song and dances, has transformed into a new kind of desire. Bombay cinema, renamed Bollywood, has created some stunning images of dance through new digital technology, costume sets, and dance techniques. Bollywood song and dances have pushed commodification of images of dance and dancing bodies to a new material and aesthetic dimension of desire. This new kind of desire is identified with aspiration, markets, and consumption. The song and dance sequences, recently invented as item numbers, and the glossary of terms will explain to you what item numbers are, often offer myriad possibilities of heightened desire and aspirations to be an Indian today who is a global consumer in an ever-expanding visual field. The song and dances are the sites of this contestation of desire between the past aesthetic codes associated with classical dances and new ones from MTV, Broadway musicals, music videos, and postmodern choreographies. Simply put, Bollywood song and dance sequences are the quintessential locus of the complex negotiation between India's past and its desire to be a modern democracy and stake a claim in the global cultural market. The song and dances are the sites of change for ushering in new imaginings of culture, power, democracy, and citizenship. Booth traces the changing conventions and shifting meanings of song and dance representations in Bombay cinema of earlier times. And I quote, "The visual images in these scenes have filled Indian theaters with a stylized vocabulary of dance and gesture ranging from maidenly brushes of the 1940s Leela Chitnis to the brazen bump and grind of the 1990s Madhuri Dixit. Thus, when a song and dance scene appears in a film, of course its very appearance is a narrative convention. The conventions inform not only the musical, visual, and kinesthetic content, but also types of meaning one can expect and the coded elements that will be used to construct that meaning," end quote. In the past two decades, a paradigm shift has taken place in the musical, visual, and kinesthetic content of the song and dance sequences that have challenged the established norms, codes, and meanings. The earlier codes, predominantly drawn from the mythopoetic, semiotic world of Bhakti and Sufi, love mysticism have given away to gyrating bodies endlessly on display, creating overly sexualized commodity transactions. The latter roles, once only reserved for vamps in Hindi films, are now coveted by lead heroines. The song and dance sequences have taken on a new format and movement medium. As they have taken on this format and movement medium, they have increasingly been dissociated from the plot. Consequently, more value has been added to their commodity status. They now create the repeat value of a film and circulate as music videos and item numbers on television channels, iTunes, and YouTube. They function like franchise production units, transforming the notion of cultural production into the notion of rhizomatic culture, where one product leads to other kinds of merchandise. The rise of multiplex and production houses in India are an aspect of the same rhizomatic multiplications. I propose the idea of remix captures this new aesthetics and lived reality of Bollywood dance. Remix as a cultural practice and aesthetic concept represents the new kind of aspirational desire associated with markets and commodity. It produces a shortening of desire that is represented through hyper-visualization of commodity images, also called commodity aesthetics, associated with advertising products. Bollywood song and dance sequences, I argue, create a potent engine for producing this kind of aesthetic desire that leads to consumption. Bollywood song and dances enable the dancer and the viewer alike to produce themselves as individual consumers disconnected from their social class, family, or community. The emergence of item numbers builds on commodity aesthetics to produce new heights of desire through aspirational images. These remixed item numbers constitute the subjectivities of the global cosmopolitan Indian who has no easily identifiable citizenship, no localized identity, nor any familial ties. The aspirational images heighten the concept of commodity aesthetics to create a desire not only to consume or buy a product, but adds a desire of a certain lifestyle or a geographical area. Mazzarella explains, and I quote, "The statement that objects or images may be aspirational implies that an orientation towards such objects or images indicates a desire for personal transformation, in line with a widely diffused and generally recognized index of advancement. Aspirational qualities appear on the face of it to be inherent properties." Thus, marketing theorist Davis Aker writes, and I quote, "The brand Nike is very aspirational in the sense that wearing Nike represents what users aspire to be like rather than their current self-image. Aspirational qualities are moreover associated not only with particular brands, but also with whole quasi-geographical imaginaries. This form of aspirational desire of a new generation of Indians, I argue, is writ large on the song and dance canvases of recent films, such as Dhoom 2, Dawn 2, and there are many like that. Now the heroes and heroines exude the cosmopolitan aura of Western fashion models with their perfect bodies, stylish accessories, fair skin, and golden hair lights. They sport brand name clothes, drive around in foreign cars in exotic locations, and look like commercials for a global consumerist lifestyle. But the cultural products coming out of Bollywood are not homogenous. Directors such as Suraj Barjatia are interested in creating Bollywood films that harken back to past notions of culture and tradition in an auto-exoticizing mode. The transformation of desire from rasa to remix is contradictory and complicated, as traditional ways of doing things give way to expanding markets and technological innovations, summarized often as the Bollywoodization of Indian culture. And I want to show you a few clips about this particular kind of Bollywoodization that you see. These images are from this film Dhoom 2, and you can see the drastic transformation, which is very obvious. You can also see that it's just not, the transformation is just not only for the female, but also for the male. So it's not just that there are only female item girls, but also male item boys. So this is equal opportunity objectification. The global prominence of Bollywood arguably began with the film Hum Aapke Hai Kaun. It's also called HAHK, Hawk. Who Am I to You, in 1994. a musical that focused on two weddings, and you know how popular weddings are in Bombay films, and that played for almost a year, grossing more than a stunning $30 million. The expansion of Bollywood market to US, Canada, UK, and the Middle East, and also to East Asian countries, is a tale of spectacular marketing success. Hum Apke Hai Kaun, or Hawk, set a new standard of consumerism in India. The film is directed by Suraj Barjatia of Rajashree Productions, one of the most prominent production houses in Bollywood. The film is choreographed by Jay Borade, who trained in both Western and Indian classical dances. The dancing and choreography threw together an eclectic fusion of Western and Indian forms derived from the Punjabi folk dance Bhangra with a distinct Bollywood flavor. The movie celebrated the quintessential notion of an Indian family, traditional family values with wedding extravaganza at the center. It was the first film to run in mainstream cinemas in the US, UK, and other parts of the world. The film paved the path for commercial films in the overseas market, and other films followed. The song and dance sequences were created now with an eye to the box office rather than the story line or the script. So they were really becoming completely decontextualized from the actual storyline. Moreover, these trends coincide with Bollywood establishing itself as a major entertainment industry and spreading globally as an industrial conglomerate. Shudhabrata Sengupta observes regarding the commercialization of aesthetics in Bombay cinema, and I quote, "A new aesthetic filtered via the music television entered Hindi cinema in the early to mid-90s, end quote. The remixing of traditional or old Bollywood film music in new packages was gaining popularity. The song and dance sequences picturized in exotic locales with stunning cinematography was claiming a separate life from the actual film, such as the number Chhaiya Chhaiya from Dil Se. The song and dance sequences brought the concept of the item girl, which is an overly sexualized dancing girl, girl displayed on the song and dance sequences to the forefront. The dancing on top of a moving train surrounded by nature, the Rajasthani costumes and the Rajasthani folk-inspired dancing and the music by A.R. Rahman, you are probably familiar with this name now, made the sequence Chhaiya Chhaiya a memorable one. I want to show you a little bit of that. This is what was playing when you came in.
Chal chaiya 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 chal chaiya 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 chal chaiya 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 chal chaiya 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 chal chaiya 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 chal chaiya 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 sare ishq ki chaav chal chaiya chaiya sare ishq ki chaav chal chaiya pao jannat chale chal chaiya chaiya pao jannat chale chal chaiya chal chaiya 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 wo yaar hai jo khushboo ki tarah jiski zubaan urdu ki tarah meri shaam raat meri kaayana.
Sorry, I have to stop that, but I recommend the I recommend the YouTube. You can go there. So the lyrics by Gulzar for this song was based on a traditional Sufi song by Bhule Shah. So lots of things were transforming. It was a traditional Qawwali song that was also being transformed in the song and dance sequence. The visualization of the music was so compelling that it wedded the cinematography to the song and helped create a new visual music genre. The song and dance sequence of Chhaiya Chhaiya marks the arrival of Indian music video. It also put A.R. Rahman on the map of Indian music for ushering in a new kind of contemporary Indian musical. The choreography by Farah Khan, who was an assistant to choreographer Saroj Khan, and these are big names in Bombay films, also put her on the map as a choreographer, and she won the Best Choreographer's Award for the film. The music video of Chhaiya Chhaiya became a global hit. The interdependent relationship between Bollywood song and dance sequences and the music video market established a new global niche for the Bollywood industry. Its spread was propelled by remix hits like the controversial video Kata Laga by DJ Doll. Again, I recommend the YouTube for this. It's quite stunning. The video created a controversy about censorship and women's sexuality. The idea of remix, which was not just confined to music videos, but was also different languages, such as a mix of English and Hindi, or Hinglish, ushered in a new urban cultural phenomena among the Indian diaspora. The trendy pop remix genre celebrated being South Asian and international at the same time in cities such as London and Birmingham. The popularity of remix videos, which integrated dancing, music, sets, camera angles, and picturization, is summarized in the Indian newspaper Hindu. And I quote, "It is no big deal anymore that remix albums are selling like hotcakes. A few months ago, indie pop saw a renaissance in the remix scene, which started by the song by DJ Akhil." Akhil is here. But no, he didn't start that. "Kata Laga by DJ Doll and many more followed. And today it has become some sort of a rule that every music company must release a remix album featuring a video where three or four skimpy clad models gyrate to gravity-defying pelvic moves." End quote. The popularity of the remixes showed that the item number was going to be the engine for Bollywood films in the 21st century. The item boy also followed in films such as Delhi Belly. The song and dance sequences in Bollywood films, or the item number, function like music videos and have a life of their own now. They are now released many months before the film is released. They appear in television programs and circulate in video, cable, and DVD. In fact, the popularity of song and dance sequences now determines the box office success of the film. Anishtu Basu contends that they operate like, and I quote, "designer products that can invoke bodies, spaces, and objects that can arrive from any visual universe," end quote. The dominance of Bollywood cinema over all aspects of cultural production deemed Indian, especially music, dance, and fashion, is particularly significant and linked to a cultural conglomeration involving a range of distribution and consumption activities, from websites to music cassettes, from cable to radio, writes Ashish Rajadaksha. "Moreover, the dramatic expansion of television since the early 2000s, along with the emergence of cable networks such as Zee, Sony, Star, provide publicity engines for a rhizomatic circulation of Bollywood films, and especially the song and dance sequences or item numbers. In fact, the dance television reality shows are venues to present the item numbers. In the process, it brings the Bollywood industry even closer to the common audience, not just as passive audience members, but as active partakers in the making of a transnational celebrity culture." In the next section, I locate Bollywoodization of Indian culture within the ethnographic context of dance classes in Kolkata. And this is basically where my ethnography is located, and I've been conducting this research in both Mumbai and Calcutta. And it was really interesting that when I started this research, initially I was interested in looking at the background dancers in Bollywood films. Like, who are these people who are basically in the backdrop dancing away? I was very curious about these dancers and their lives. And when I arrived in Bombay, I realized, just talking to the choreographers and dancers, that these are the same people who actually compete in television reality shows. It's really an interconnected world. I wasn't aware of that at that point. Now it becomes very obvious when you watch television reality shows, you know that these people are connected to Bollywood. But back in 2006, 2007, when I started this, I wasn't aware. And it was just an incredible revelation to me in terms of the striving that I saw among these people, who are many of them coming from very underprivileged backgrounds. And many of them have no dance training at all. So they have talent to do movements, and they look at YouTube videos, and they just pick it up, and it's kind of that ad hoc, you know, system of learning, and somehow they just dream of landing in some reality show or some Bollywood dance number, and slowly it's getting professionalized, but even then it's a very difficult world, dog eats dog kind of world, the reality show world. So it was a really astonishing experience for me to see how much, I mean, when I watch these dances from an audience perspective, from a rasika perspective of someone who's been trained in classical Indian dance, sometimes I say, oh my God, what are they doing? But just knowing these people very closely, have learned so much about what it means to be a dancer, really. Their striving and their you know, struggles to make it work in this new India. So this is where my work is actually located in the book. There are many upward mobility accounts of the lower, middle, and working classes in contemporary India. The new media and the prominence of Bollywood have created a new awareness and popularity of dance in India. They have broadened the audience for dance as well as opened up new opportunities for new classes and generations who can dream of pursuing careers as dancers and choreographers that were previously mostly reserved for the educated elite. The dance reality world is a world of such aspirations. As the dance and music reality shows, which also have dancing, have exploded on television, dance studios and dance spaces have mushroomed in cities such as Kolkata and Bombay. In Kolkata, the dance spaces are tucked in various corners of the city, sometimes in the most unexpected places. I followed a few choreographers as they held classes in a variety of contexts, showing an incredible amount of dynamism, unpredictability and flexibility, with a steady fixity of purpose. I had to reorganize my sense of time and place from the precise schedules of American daily life. I could not plan much as appointments were made and changed and all continuously changed, and I had to be flexible and patient. Here is an entry from my field notes. Bhaskar came almost 2 hours late. I stood in front of the tall Exide building in Chaurangi Street in central Kolkata. This is a busy part of the city, but traffic was slow as it was a Sunday. As I waited, smells of chops and pakoras, which are flower fritters, wafted in the air. They were being fried on the pavement by a hawker. I was tempted to indulge and was debating the potential health hazards of such mouth-watering street snacks in India when Bhaskar arrived. He said he could not answer my phone calls as he was riding his bike. I noticed he was holding his helmet. I accompanied him inside the old building. This is a landmark commercial building that has seen better days. We climbed up 5 dark and dilapidated floors to reach a bright, well-lit room. This is the front office of Shubela Production. Bhaskar explained that his classes here are part of his production house, which is trying to bring dance and films on the same platform. We sat in the front office that led to the studio and talked for a while. The room had posters of many dance forms and dancers, including a poster that had Bhaskar in the center. The poster next to it showed Michael Jackson moonwalking, his hands up, his face looking down and covered with a hat. There was also a poster with many different dance poses that read jazz, street, lyrical, modern, hip-hop, ballet, contemporary. And all these forms can mean very different things in India. This is something that you also learn. Because most of them actually are not aware of what modern dance is like in America. So they have their own versions of modern, contemporary, jazz, ballet, all of this. The dancers in the room came from a varied background. They arrived on different times, and at one point it seemed to me that they kept trickling in. The class eventually filled up, and Bhaskar had 2 assistants, a male and a female, who helped him to teach. The laptop in the corner played some new age music. For many of these dance instructors, their laptop is the most expensive thing they own, because this is where they have access to YouTube and they can just pick up music and dance movements. The dancers began moving with steps that looked like a mixture of hip-hop, floor work, head spins, and lunges. When I asked about the movements, Bhaskar told me they called it freestyle. Bhaskar repeatedly showed the head spin by breaking it part by part. I cringed a few times as the dancers were on a cement floor that strained their necks and heads rather precariously. But then sprung wooden floors are nowhere to be found in the city. The young males in the group were eager to execute the movement and kept doing the same movement over and over again. The cultural landscape of a dance class such as this reflects the new dance style of new style of dance practice in Mumbai and Kolkata, and the dance rehearsals on film sets. The erosion of the cultural and aesthetic codes connected to traditional methods of imparting knowledge of the body was echoed by many dancers and choreographers in Bombay and Kolkata who spoke to me. Geeta Kapoor, who has some Bharatanatyam training and is now assistant to the eminent choreographer Farah Khan and a judge on a major dance reality show, which was called Just Dance, talked about the emergence of new dance aesthetics. And she says, in college, people asked me to do fashion shows. I got partnered with dancer Javed Jaffrey. I worked with Ken Ghosh, who is a music video director. And he's known for his musical hit, Ishq Vishq Pyar Vyar, which translates as love, 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 love. I have done 40 or so videos with him. I have been working with Farah Khan as her assistant from 1994. I have choreographed Arman, Ashoka, Pyar Mein Kabhi Kabhi. I also do a lot of film shows and events. This is the time of the item numbers. Dancers have specific looks, glamour, they are professionals. We know that dancing is all about having a good frame of mind and creating a good look. In Bollywood and Bollywood-derived reality shows, the changes are not only encoded in the nature of dance practice once associated with traditional embodied aesthetics, but in the negotiations between new editing techniques, computer graphics, and an impetus to represent bodies that are inspired by commodity images. These sculpted dancing figures very often unite with fashion models, as fashion shows and film dance or item numbers unite for a common platform to showcase commodities. The concept of bhakti and the relationship it forged between teacher and student or dancer and devotee and God are no longer relevant to the intergenerational transmission of knowledge. The structures of feeling associated with bhavarasa appear on item numbers as fleeting emotions of a bygone era. These bodies are not embedded in any particular cultural aesthetics. The dancing bodies are instruments on which movements are crafted using a cut and paste techniques. Therefore, various movements are uprooted from specific contexts and remixed to produce an item number for Bollywood films or reality shows. They reflect the commodity-oriented consumption practices of a global Indian modernity. The classrooms in Kolkata I visited regularly are part of this new discursive field of Indian dance of fluid borders and aspiring choreographers and dancers. They come from all walks of life, breaking all previous notions of Indian dance and middle-class respectability. So in conclusion, the paper has shown that Bombay cinema has played a significant role in shifting the aesthetics of desire from tradition-inspired mythopoetic context to a new aesthetic of commodity production. Expressed usually through the narrative of romance, heightened in a song and dance sequences, representations of erotic in Hindi films had drawn mostly on classical and folk dance forms. But now the classical dance aesthetics are relics of the past. The hybrid dance fusions that dominate the song and dances today are inspired by commodity aesthetics driven by a lifestyle of global consumption. I have argued that this aesthetic transition driven by technology and global economic reach of Bollywood is articulated through the term remix. I've also shown how the remix genre gave birth to the item girl or item number in Bollywood films. I've also shown how the music video industry and television became media outlets for circulating remix dance numbers. I've located the circulation of item numbers in the ethnographic context of dance classes in Kolkata and Bombay. I suggested that these new dance forms are creating new visibility for aspiring dancers and choreographers from relatively underprivileged classes and providing them with a new kind of media citizenry. Earlier, such careers in dance in general were confined to hereditary practitioners and men and women of elite and affluent families. The broadening of the dance context has allowed young men and women to explore new career opportunities by participating in various dance contexts, such as reality television shows. However, these opportunities have also been seen as exploitative engines of a neoliberal economy, leading to excessive desire and erosion of morality. So this is what actually has happened with these reality shows, that it's not that everybody is very happy about what has happened with these dance forms. And these spaces have become spaces of contestation in terms of middle-class respectability for girls, because of the costumes that they are wearing and the kind of lifestyles that they're leading, because they are trying to make a career in this kind of a difficult world. So in many of them, even their college professors are kind of not rusticating them from their colleges and classrooms. So it's a very volatile situation, as also some of the public colleges and institutions try to regulate women's clothing. Like, this is not allowed, you can't wear this, you know, you only have to wear saris, you know. So all of this is going on, and some of it is basically argued to be an impact of this kind of popularization of, you know, dance. So I want to leave you with some of the images of the dancers that I have been talking to in Kolkata. So this is actually audition that I attended in Calcutta, and for a reality show, Dance India Dance. And basically, it had about almost 1,000 dancers camping out in the streets, you know, overnight to participate from the eastern part of India. And they were only allowed to dance for less than a minute. This was their first round of audition. And so this is how competitive this world is. And this is part of the audition. And anything and everything is acceptable in these dance auditions. And this is Bhaskar Studio, the person I was talking about who came late and usually always came late for appointments. And you can see that to the, you know, the right, that street lyrical modern hip hop, this is a common sort of theme that all of them do, all these styles. This is his teaching. And this is Sajid Jamal, another person I hung out with a lot. He used to sell caps. He's from an underprivileged background, from a Muslim neighborhood. He's Muslim, and he has all kinds of issues with, you know, like, this is Hindu-dominated, and I have trouble getting work and all of those things. But these people with him, you know, the men especially, the males, young males, and this is a very young world, youth culture, one or two of them have never attended school. Some of them are school dropouts. One I remember was a sweeper who's somehow gotten together with this group and dancing and hoping that one day he will break into the reality show world. And the girls, on the other hand, it's interesting that they actually have more schooling in terms of their backgrounds are not as underprivileged as the males. So it's more of a, the more I think about this, it seems like it's more an opportunity for the young males to redefine masculinity in India and find some kind of upward mobility through these kinds of dance performances. So this is another thing that's also happening in terms of this redefinition of masculinity with the hip-hop and the salsa and all these other forms of dance coming and kind of colliding with the traditional classical dance aesthetics, where the male representation is very different. So I leave you with these images, and maybe we'll open it up to the conversation. Thank you so much.